it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you're stuck in a tiny little submarine and then know that, maybe a worse way to go. Hey, what's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome into the CHGO Bulls Podcast, coming to you live from our studios here in West Loop, downtown Chicago. I am Peck, Bulls underscore Peck, joined by Big Dave, bam, BAWL Sports, Will the Goat Gottlieb, Will underscore Gottlieb, and sitting in for Joe today on the controls, it's our foul producer, Kevin Wells.
Yo, hey. Kev.
What's good, boys?
Shout out.
What's good?
Another gorgeous day.
It is.
In Chicagoland.
An amazing day outside.
Amazing day. Will didn't lock his girlfriend out of the house today. He's here with us.
Very proud, man.
I made it.
You made it.
What did she say when you got back home?
She felt bad that I had to drive all the way back. I was like, why do you feel bad? I locked you out of the house.
That's a good girlfriend right there. She felt bad. She was supporting her man.
Just trying to enjoy a little of that sunshine out on the deck, right? That's what you said. She was outside working on the patio.
You hit the nail on the head with your Instagram. It's like the short period of spring is the greatest time.
It's the best,
I got home from the office yesterday, and I was like, I have an hour of sunlight left. Yeah. And I made myself a cocktail, went up to my roof, and sat there and listened to music for an hour. And I was like,
The best part, because this is the only option weather time you have before, is just blatant heat and humidity in your face.
Yeah.
That's why it's the best time of weather, bro. It's the best, besides the fall. Which is the best.
Lots to get to on today's show. We are going to continue our player evaluations with most improved player runner-up, none other than Alec Jacoby White.
Alec.
We will also do a little bit of NBA playoff roundup from last night's action. Knicks and Sixers just keep bringing the crazy heat.
I love it, man.
It's
that
bonkers.
Game was outrageous.
Yeah, it was.
First though, I did want to touch on again and give a shout out to all of our fellow members of the Bulls fan community who contributed to the conversation. We were talking a little bit yesterday about the anniversary of two iconic Bulls dunks, MJ baseline against the Knicks, and his stuff over Ewing, and then Joakim's, obviously, game six, triple OT against Boston. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of posed the question from our team account, like, which one are you taking? And I was very amused that most people agreed with your take, Dave, Joakim, because of everything that went into that moment.
Yeah.
Even the old heads like us, a lot of them still took the Joakim dunk.
Sure.
But more so than anything else, I was laughing my ass off because so many people chiming into the conversation were like, well, it's Pippen against the Knicks in 94.
That's right.
And I was like, okay, well,
I get that.
I didn't pose that question.
Right,
I said, it's, you know, do you like apples or oranges? And people were like, pears. It's pears. And it just so happened to be because those two dunks, the MJ and the Joakim one, share that anniversary, which was yesterday.
Yeah.
But I agree. If you're talking best Bulls playoff dunk of all time, Pippen, right?
Yeah, no, it's no question. And again, it goes into everything that happened.
The context.
Correct.
You know Spike. What I'm
saying? Spike standing over Ewing. You know what I mean? Sit your ass down. Like
what's a better in-game dunk, period, let alone in the playoffs with those kind of stakes?
Yeah, like, oh, man.
I mean, the Vince Carter USA team dunk, in-game dunk, was ferocious.
Pretty damn ferocious, man. Anthony Edwards is
Blake and DeAndre both had their fair share during the Lob City years.
DeAndre Jordan dunk, yeah.
Dude, Sean Kemp. Games.
We never saw Brevin Knight again. You know what I mean? I don't even know what happened to him. Sean Kemp, yes. Dude.
Chris Sean Kemp just straight up murdered people. Some
Chris
of those
dunking on Charles Barkley.
Yep.
Went behind his back, dunked on him. Like, No, there were some great ones, man. But
Shaq this, on, who was it, Chris Dudley?
Oh, my God. Oh,
remember that one?
When he pushed him
out. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to impregnate you and then shove you to the ground.
It's not my kid.
That is the most disrespectful dunk I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was very, and it's so disrespectful that Chris Dudley takes the ball and throws it
at him. Yeah.
Man.
It's your baby.
Poor Chris Dudley. That guy should have been an accountant. Instead, he was somehow found himself in an NBA game getting dunked on by Shaq.
7 feet tall. Put those books away, kid. Go make dad some millions. What's wrong with you?
I got a feeling this playoff we're going to see Anthony Edwards put himself in that competition, that conversation. He's gonna agree. If they make it to the conference finals, I feel like he's gonna throw a couple down there.
I mean, he already had one. Really nice. What was that? Right. Game three?
Yeah.
Game two?
No, it was like, I think it was game four. It was the last minute.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
yeah.
The last. I believe
he
it was game
his ankle
four.
And then he did. Yeah. Took off.
First he's gonna put himself there. The Todd Gibson on the
right. So everybody on the consensus, and shout out to everybody who chimed in the conversation on Bulls Twitter today. Consensus was, okay, of the two, I think it was like 75-25 in favor of Joakim over MJ's. Everyone agreeing Pippen's against Ewing was the best one ever.
Sure.
There were two others that got mentioned multiple times. Obviously, Taj Gibson's dunk on Wade,
yeah.
Game 1, 2011.
Amazing.
Humble brag, I was there. And then in that same Bulls Heat series, D-Rose crossover and then posterizing Joel Anthony, who is a large man.
That is my favorite Derek dunk. That was...
Man.
That yeah.
was outrageous.
I just remember Marv out, like the entire.
Yeah, shout out to Alex who had that one in the comments.
All the entire commentary team went speechless and everybody just started laughing.
He's
like
6'2", 6'3", just dunked over a 7-footer.
Yeah, it was the cross. Like you said, it was the cross and the finish and on the road. You know what I mean? And one. You know, all of it. Like, that's the great thing that goes into these things is the whole context of it. Like, Mike's is so great because I don't think the footwork of it is talked about enough.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? Like, how he was able to stay in.
He juked out four of five Knicks on the floor before dunking that.
And went flat, jumped straight flat. You know what I mean? No taking off, no off of straight up two, went up on you and slammed it in your. Oh my God. Like, the disrespect of that is violent. But man, Joakim's was. It's real. It's how you would. You watch that in slow motion. You know what I mean? Like, just watch it happen in slow motion. Put music to it. You know what I mean? Watch him finish.
Watch
Yale.
Doc Rivers just collapse into his own arms.
Like, all of it, man. It's special, bro. Like, it's a special Bulls moment that we'll probably replay forever.
Oh, man. You ready for a deep pull before we move on? Sure. Drew's in the comments saying, Strawmile Swift's dunk on the Bulls when they were wearing their green St. Patty's jerseys.
Oh, I remember that.
Wow. Dude, when's the last time anyone said the name Strawmile Swift?
Listen, first shout out to Strawmile Swift. I mean, he was the original Tyrus Thomas, honestly. Yes.
That dude could so dunk true. The shit out of the ball.
Dude, he could dunk.
With all due respect to Hakeem Warwick.
Yes, sir. Oh, my God. When we should do a show just about my wings like that, that could do that kind of shit. But yes, that dunk, if you find it and see it, my God. Yo, violence on top of violence on top of violence. I remember that.
With no regard for human life.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, man. Violent. You got one, Kev? You got one?
I feel like a bad fan. Stubbs with Jason said D. Rose against the Pistons, and I can't remember that one now.
D. Rose against the Pistons?
Was that the, was that the lob? So there was obviously the Dragic one against Phoenix. I think there was a different... I can't remember if it was a lob or just a breakaway by himself against the Pistons that was also just a witnessing someone fly.
Yeah.
Young Derek who could just...
He just climbed the ladder and just kept on going.
My God.
Violence.
Hit his head on the rim kind of elevation.
Yeah, man. He was something special, bro. Like, yeah.
Those were special.
Yeah.
If I had to say my favorite, though, is when I was... doing stuff with the Bucks when I was in college, I saw Giannis dunk on Drummond in that Pistons series.
Mm.
It wasn't like it was the Pistons; they were gonna sweep. They swept them. It wasn't like a high profile series or anything. Sure. But I remember, Giannis just absolutely I had to work my way up a little bit. Drummond became part of the floor in that one. I mean, it was crazy. Like it was stone cold dunk by Giannis. Jumped all over him. It was crazy. So
when you knew something was special,
yeah, well, that was fun.
Yeah,
he did that a lot.
Alex in the comments saying MJ had better posters than the Ewing dunk. That's true.
Yes, no question.
He did finally get his dunk on Mutombo and then give him the finger wag.
Yep,
one but, of and, I mean, like when, that was the other thing I thought about. Like poor Patrick Ewing, man. On top of, we'll get to NBA playoff action at the back end of today's show, but
He has suffered.
That dude has suffered.
He has suffered, dog. Things,
French Bulls TV pointing out on the D-Rose Heat Series dunk that he changed directions three different times before going up the ladder to put, you know, Joel Anthony on that.
It was like this, dog.
Killer crossover, split the defense, and then did that to Joel Anthony.
It's not fair.
That was one of those D-Rose plays where from start to finish, when D-Rose got the ball, did what he did, and then the ball was in the basket, where I just shook my head and was like, what the hell did I just watch?
Yeah, you bug out when you see stuff like that. And it's why you love the NBA and why you love the playoffs. You know, to do it in those moments is what how it becomes the lore. You know what I mean? How you talk about. Real subtle one, Jamal Murray dunking on LeBron, dog.
Whew.
Kind of nice.
Woo!
Punched it, dude.
Kind of nice.
That was a tiny little poster.
Yeah, man.
My God.
Could be injured, too, in doing that? I was like, ooh.
And then he gave LeBron the.
He did.
Shout out to our guy RG over there in DMVR. That picture he took of Jamal's flex after that dunk went everywhere.
Oh, man. That's
that
what
night.
He do, dog. That boy's eye is stupid. His eye is great. Shout out to RG.
That boy good.
That boy good.
Oh, man. Reminiscing is fun. Yeah. But, I mean, okay, so transitioning to the present, yes, it would be fun if we were watching the Bulls do these kinds of things in playoff games right now.
Yes, it would.
The Bulls official team Twitter account earlier today put out a little highlight package of Kobe's season and said, like, oh, don't we all wish we were still watching Kobe hoop?
Yes.
And my smart-ass self quote tweeted it and was like, yeah, sure, I wish we were. That's a shame. What happened? I thought we were competitive. Because I couldn't help myself.
Because he is who he is.
But, I mean, speaking of things that D. Rose did that made me shake my head in disbelief back in the day, we also saw some of that kind of stuff from Kobe this season.
Yeah.
And it was a salve.
Yes.
For Bulls fans.
A nice one. Nice right there on you. It was because of the handles, basically.
Yes. What I was referring to.
Yeah. His handles got just to another level where you couldn't really defend him on either hand, you know? And then when he threw the spin in with it and the fact that he knew how to slow himself down. He knew how to speed up and slow down. And, you know, the great ones or the really good ones, point guards, I mean, know how to do that kind of stuff, man. And just watching him do that and embarrass quite a few players the way he did it, it was really, really special to watch him do those things, man. Like, I hadn't seen him do those special things. I seen him have little glimpses of them. But he did it. It was sustained special shit he would do in games. And, of course, the 42-point game is one of the ones that comes to mind when you think about him, man. But, no, Kobe had a really special season, man. His hard work, he's a great example of hard work really paying off.
Yeah, an opportunity, too. I think he stepped into a bigger role that he obviously was not expecting to get this year. Not expecting Zach LaVine to play 25 games. Not expecting, you know, Patrick Williams to miss a ton of time. So he had to kind of jump into a bigger role, earn the starting spot from the beginning, and really took it. And, yeah, I mean, I think the growth that we saw from Kobe this year sounds like, you know, he believes that there's more to come. AK said he believes there's more to come there, so we'll have to see. But in a lot of ways, I mean, Kobe was, like, the one really bright spot about this team. I mean, DeRozan, who we talked about yesterday, he does what he does, and you kind of expect that. But Kobe was the one thing that really popped and was, like, different and special about this team this year.
Yeah, he was something.
You know what? Let's take our first ad break a little early, and then we'll come back and dive into our grades for Kobe White this season, starting with what we saw him do in that Bulls offense that, by and large, led him to getting all of those most improved player votes. While we are sharing these words from our sponsors, you know what to do. Bulls Nation, hit that like button if you're watching on YouTube, catching the replay on YouTube. Don't forget to also subscribe to our CSGO Sports YouTube channel if you aren't already. Dave, what do we have on deck today?
You know, when I told you guys that we were off air that somebody called me and asked me, you know, to talk. I had to wake up because they wanted me to talk about. Because
they needed your opinion.
Verse. Yeah, they wanted me to talk about this euphoria.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, I'm tired, but they didn't care. They wanted to talk about it. It was Baby Joey.
It was Baby Joey! Baby Joey, of course,
dog.
It was.
Hit me up early, dog. And I'm
he
like.
Has no regard for other human schedules, you know, feelings.
Because the older he gets, you know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't care about time.
Nope.
Time is not a thing for him.
You not know at all.
Mean? He just exists. These are his words. He just exists. You know what I mean? It's how he rolls, man. But, yeah, he wanted to have this discussion. It was good to hear from him. I ain't heard from him in a while. You know what I mean? But it's summertime's out. So if summertime is out, that means the Shady Rays are back, baby. Like my man Baby Joey. So get ready for the season ahead with quality shades that are built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with those premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. That rhymed. Shout out Euphoria. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company offering a world-class product rated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars for over 300,000 people. That's as many people who tell the GOAT that his coif is amazing.
It's true.
Their shades have durable facts. Those shades have durable frames and crystal clear optics, making them the perfect choice for all outdoor, and as this man proves, indoor adventiones. They have hundreds of options to choose from, so you're bound to find the perfect pair to match your style. Matt went through several, and then he said, nope, these ones that work for me, this is pure peck right here, pure summer peck, fits my face, I like it, I'm going to put them on. They probably have a style in your favorite team's colors, y'all. Think about that right there. It's honestly, being for real, those are some of the best glasses I've ever put on my face. Like, seriously.
They're
like,
great, man.
I'm very picky about shades. I'm very picky about a lot. But I'm very picky about shades, bro, that I put on my face. But those, they fit me perfectly. And the fact that I can go back, if they break, and get me a new pair,
yep,
is an awesome thing, man. I really enjoy them, bro. I like them a lot. And we seen them on the go. Come on now, dog.
It's another table right
Come
now.
On, man. Ready to go.
Elite GOAT.
True facts.
Shady Rays Vegas GOAT. The best version of any GOAT.
That's what I know it as. Plus, if your shades ever go missing, as I expected, or take an unexpected hit, don't sweat it. They have the most insane protection of all the eyewear. Oh, every pair is backed by the Peck Lost and Broken Replacements Plan. If you don't love
that's
them
touchdown.
Shades.
That's
exchange for a new pair or return worry-free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop, and their team always, and I mean always, has your back with personal and fast support. Two things you want in support. Those are awesome things. Thank you, Chris. Look at Chris all happy about it, too.
Chris shout loves the Shady Rays.
He does. He enjoys them. Exclusive for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season, y'all. Head to ShadyRays.com. Use the code CHGO. You will get 35% off of polarized shades, y'all. That is amazing. Try it for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Because it's Shady Rays, y'all. With a raise, are oh so shady. Oh, they back.
I miss the try it for yourself so much. Oh, so much.
Look at
that hits every time, man. It's almost as good. It's better than game time.
Right on. Oh, snap, Kim.
Time for yourself.
Oh, that's when you know that summer is truly upon us.
When the Rays are around.
May 1st.
Yes.
The Rays are back. They're telling you to try for yourself is back. That's
it. All of it is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome.
Another way to celebrate this beautiful Chicago day we have is to put some more money in your pocket because you're already going to be watching these NBA playoff games tonight.
This is true.
For the entertainment value because we're all hoops junkies.
True.
Make it even better by putting some money in your pocket with Circa Sportsbook and their Circa Sports Illinois app. Offering those tight money line splits and using their low hold model. Always striving to have starting odds at minus 110 for your point over unders, if that's your jam, for your game spreads, money lines, whatever you are wanting to bet on for the NBA action tonight, Circa is the place to do it. They also keep as little as money as possible on large market bets like futures, golf tournaments. We still got three more majors on deck for all you golf fans out there. But if you also just want to make some futures bets on who's winning the conference semis in the NBA playoffs or who's winning the whole thing, you can still get those kind of bets in. Do it at Circa because they give you the best odds and best value on those bets too. And we all know about the great customer service, real people behind that Circa Sports brand who resolve any issues you might have in a timely fashion, unlike other sports books who use the dreaded chatbots. Did we learn nothing from the Terminator movie franchise?
Humans
will all learn. Aspects of the app are being run by the same team that run that Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Counting down the days, Summer League ain't that far away. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also, be on the lookout for Circa's various events, watch parties, and tailgates. Shout out to them for the great work they did helping us host RCHGO Bears draft parties last week. If you or someone you know may have a gambling problem, just call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com.
Smooth. What's the Mr. Wonder's got a shirt out there today.
Circa's got a new one? Is that a Wade jersey?
It's a Kobe White. It's a Kobe White jersey.
Man,
Shirtless Wonder is always on that shit.
Always on it. Always on brand. I saw him walk out there.
A true hero.
Professional segue.
I don't even need to be Segway Peck anymore.
Nope.
Shirtless Wonder can do it for us.
Gotcha. He's like, just look to the right. He's got you covered. There we go, right there, man. Appreciate you. Hey, Julia. Appreciate you doing that stuff. Shirtless
Wonder. All heroes don't wear capes.
Or shirts.
Mm-hmm. all right, guys. Thanks to the Shirtless Wonder segue. Let's talk about Coby White and take a look at what we graded for him. Sub-zero this season. Starting with offense, Dave, you and I were right there in line with an A-. Go, you gave him a B+. I will just throw out a couple of things that I noticed and then toss it to you guys. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you saw the huge points per game increase this season from last season. Also upping his assists to 5.1 per game. Mm-hmm. Kept his turnovers at a respectable 2.1 with more ball handling. And speaking of that ball handling, we saw Kobe's usage jump from 17.9 last season to 22.7 this season. Considerable jump in how much Kobe was involved in the Bulls' offense. True shooting percentage, basically what it was last year on a much higher volume. It was 0.572. This season, 0.57 even. What I did like the most, and then I'll toss it to you, Dave. You were talking, I think, in last year's grading about Kobe, the increase in attempts at the rim.
Sure.
And continuing to improve upon his finishing at the rim. Mm-hmm. Kobe's percentage of total field goal attempts taken from 0 to 3 feet this season increased from 20 last year, which was a bump up from, I believe, 18.5 the season prior, to nearly 25%. 24.7% of his field goal attempts this season came at the rim. And his conversion rate on those attempts at the rim only dipped from 67.2 to 65.6. So nearly kept the completion at the rim where it was last year on a significant jump in the amount of times we saw Kobe attack the basket tonight. That is, I think, the favorite thing I saw from Kobe offensively this season when you were just talking about, you know, his handling and layup package a minute ago.
Yeah, like, it was just all around impressive from his entire game offensively, from Kobe, from the handles to the shooting to the finishing at the rim. But for me, Will, more so mentally, what he was on the offense was probably the biggest jump, because as a guy playing a point guard position, as you know, you have to be the quarterback out there. You got to think for people. You know what I mean? You have to put them in better positions to where it's just a reactionary, you know, for a lot of guys. And Kobe, obviously, he's a score-first guy. You know what I'm saying? Not selfishly. It's just his game. Mm-hmm. He's going to score first. But he enjoys getting his teammates involved. He's always been a teammate guy. But mentally, I loved his leadership about what he kind of took over, because he came way more vocal. You know what I'm saying? Talking to his team in the huddle, you know, telling them to keep their head up, everybody keep going, hugging everybody, you know, when they're doing it. After the game, being the first one in their face, you know, when the cameras are talking to them, you know, encouraging them, bigging them up, man. Like, he was always that kind of guy. And I feel like that it's easy to become more of yourself when you're doing the things correctly on the floor that you really want to do. So he just became more comfortable. And it starts with me on the offensive end with him. If he can do that offensively, everything else becomes smoother for him. And mentally, he knew exactly what to do. He never really looked lost out there. The times that I thought he did was because he had played like 85 minutes. And I was like, well, he's just tired. You know what I'm saying, right now? But everything else, he just mentally looked like, no, I'm good. And I'm about to show y'all that I'm really this good. And I don't mean that in a cocky way. I'm just very confident in my game right now. And I thought that came across in multiple games, Will.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with both of you guys. And, you know, B plus is not supposed to sound like anything other than Kobe was great this year.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
I bragged to my parents about B pluses all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was really good.
That's what the A- was, like, for what you're saying.
You know, everything you guys are saying is correct. Like, he improved in plenty of different areas of his game, whether it was the ball handling, whether it was, you know, the off the dribble creation, getting into the lane, finishing around the rim. He got a lot better. I would say the only reason I didn't go a little bit higher is, you know, he started the season not shooting the ball very well. In the first 19 games, 13.7 points per game on 42% field goal shooting, 55 true shooting percentage.
Yes.
That's below average. I think average true shooting this year was around 57%, so a little bit below average. Mm-hmm. From game 20 until the All-Star break, that's when he hit his stride. That's when he was playing his best. Mm-hmm. That was about, you know, a 40, 45-game sample where he was just – everything was working. Mm-hmm. He was averaging 22.7 points on 48% from the field, 40% on threes, 82 from the line, and 60.5 true shooting. So he was dominating, and he was doing it efficiently. And then after All-Star break, and this includes games before the injury, his efficiency in scoring did fall again. So 18 points per game post All-Star on 41% from the field, which is even worse than the first 19 games. 48 effective field goal percentage, 52.4 true shooting, both lower than even when he started the season slow. So I think, you know, and we can talk about this more for the overall section, but like, I think the consistency is the one thing that he still has to get to. I think he got to a much higher level of consistency this year. And like the floor of when, like in previous years, when he was not going well, he'd either be on heaters or he was like actively hurting you. Sure. And now it was like, he was very good all along. And then he had moments where he was like nuclear. And now it's like, can you continue to bring that floor up to where you're not going on these sort of cold spells that, you know, he's the second option on this team now. Like he has to bring his game up to another level. And it's not a knock on him. It's just like, those are the expectations. As you get better and better as a young player, you got to continue to bring it.
Yeah, true indeed.
The one, I mean, so I didn't give him a fully strong A and went with an A minus for a couple of reasons. You know, primarily I did ask him when we were laying out our player goals before the season started to have his first 40% from three season of his career. And it looked when he caught it here for a while midseason that that might happen. He had a little bit of a cold streak again to end the season. He finished still at a respectable 37.6%, which is nothing to sneeze at. But fell short of my goal and my hope for Kobe there. And then the other thing I noticed, I talked about how his percentage of attempts at the rim raised nearly 5% this season, and I love that. His percentage of field goal attempts from three dipped down, actually, which you can believe because he was much more of an off-ball player last season. He increased his number of field goal attempts from the 3 to 10 floater range, which I don't love.
Okay.
Unless that is part of your game that you are, like, elite at. You know, like, we just saw James Harden do it, like, six times in a row against the Mavs in one of their playoff games the other night. And I know it was driving our buddy Sabine crazy because, like, Harden had not made even, like, 25% of his floaters this season before that night happened.
But just got to tip your cap some nights, bro.
Kobe shot 9.6% of his total field goals last season from that 3 to 10-foot floater range. Up to 15.5% this season. And his conversion rate fell from 38.5% to 36%. So he took more shots from an uncomfortable range and was less efficient with those shots. So I, as much as I loved about what we saw from Kobe offensively this season, I did give him a little bit of a ding for that. But to end it on a positive note with my offensive thoughts from Kobe, what I love, and you were talking about it, Will, as far as creating more for himself, when you look at the numbers on that, last season, the percentage of Kobe's made field goals that were assisted to him was 35%. This season, it dropped down to 29%. That points to he was creating more of his own looks this season. Then when you look at three-point attempts, how many were assisted for Kobe this season? Last season, 96% of Kobe's made threes were assisted. This season, that fell all the way to 83. Significant drop in Kobe creating his own three-point looks, whether it be coming off of, you know, DHOs, just the pull-ups in transition that we saw him become so confident doing this season. I love that, and he deserves credit for it.
He deserves all the credit in the world. In the game,
I
want to
see more of
handles.
I want to see more of it. Like, I feel like there were times where he, especially during kind of like that first 20 games and the last 20 games, where he, it seemed like he got in his head a little bit, and he wasn't willing to take those shots. And then in that playing game against the Hawks, you saw him do exactly that, where he was just in attack mode and he scored 40 points or whatever it was. So if anything, like, to me, I feel more encouraged by Kobe's play because I think there's still more that he can get to the way that he played. And I think he just needs to continue to be comfortable and confident in his role and his abilities, but also understanding that, like, this team is going to continue to ask more of you. Like, they need him to be that scorer. And obviously the playmaking's got to be there. The defense has got to be there, all of it. But, I mean, he, like you said, Dave, that's his game. He's a scorer, and I think that the team just needs more and more of that.
Yeah, like I like the fact now that I'm expecting 20 a game from him now.
Oh, yeah.
Like I talked about IO, how I expect double digits from him. I expect 20 from Kobe. Now, you show me, like you said, Will, you show me you can do this for a sustained period of time. Now, I just want you to be more consistent with it. And the only reason I don't pick at him more harshly about how he played at that second half towards the end, because we knew he was coming back off an injury and kind of working himself, you know, kind of back into that, kind of finding himself a little bit. So I gave him a little leeway on that, but I agree with you about the first half of the season. That's where the minus comes from.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? For the A minus is how he got off to that start. But he picked it up and he found himself, you know, and man,
had finished his best second. Stretch of his career.
Finished second and most improved player of the year, yeah. Dog. Like, come on.
All right, let's touch on his defense next. I think I gave him a C. Yeah, that's right. You and I both gave him a C. Mm-hmm. Will gave him the minus attached to that C.
I feel like I'm probably going to go half grade up on both.
Yeah, I was a little harsh on DeMar yesterday. It's fine. Mm-hmm. We can all balance each other out.
Sure.
A couple of stats for Kobe defensively that I could throw out there. His steals per 100 possessions on the defensive end dropped from 1.5 last year, which I know, Will, you set as a goal for him last year. He made it to 1.5. I think the season prior, he was at 0.8. Mm. And you were like, Kobe, get your steals to 1.5, your steal rate. He did it. It fell back down to 0.9 this season. So one of the reasons why I just gave him a flat C. His defensive box plus minus, like pretty much everybody on this Bulls team, because they went from being a top five defense last year to not that, fell from just above net neutral at plus 0.2 last season to negative 1.3 this season.
Yeah.
I will give him credit. In all of these games and all these minutes he played this season, he doubled his previous career high, which was last season in charges drawn, from 24 to 50.
Ooh.
So, look, do we know and is the eye test there that Kobe still struggles with his off-ball defense occasionally?
Yeah.
Gets caught ball watching? Yes. Sometimes struggles to get through and navigate screens?
Yes.
Yes, we know these elements are there when you're talking about the weaknesses on his defensive game. I think he did as many good things as many bad things on defense this year, and that's why I gave him a C.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, his defense is obviously still the weak point of his game, and similar to the way I feel about it with DeMar, like, you're not asking him to be a stopper out there. You're not asking him to be necessarily, like, the best perimeter defender, but, you know, the team was better defensively with him off the court.
Mm-hmm.
The individual metrics aren't great. He was in the 6th percentile in defensive EPM, minus 2.1, so that's really bad. But he did get better. I feel like he learned how to navigate screens at a much higher level. I think he was a little bit more aware off the ball. I think he did execute to a scheme pretty well, but he's still the weakest link out there, and that's why teams would kind of hunt him and isolate him and try to post him up and go after him. And you saw that against the Heat in that final game. So, again, I'm not, like, asking Kobe to be the best player defensively on the team. And somebody has to be the weak point defensively. That's typically going to be the smallest guy. And so by default, like, he ends up kind of being that role because he's playing alongside Caruso and Ayo and DeMar. Yeah. Like, there's not a lot of other options for teams to go at. But I do feel like he improved this year defensively. He's not great at it. And again, I think that's okay given what the role and expectation for him is on the offensive end.
Here's the main reason I know he improved is we knew in the past if Kobe was not on offensively, he couldn't be on the floor.
Yeah.
And now it wasn't like that this year that we just saw. Like, even when he didn't have his jumper working, the fact he was still working hard on the defensive end, you know, the fact he was still locked in, even if certain things wouldn't work, I just never felt like he was not locked in. Like you said, he would get lost. I'm sorry, he would be watching, maybe ball watching a little bit too much, and, you know, that cut would come behind him and they would get to the basket and score. We saw that happen to Ayo a few times as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those things can happen, and Will is absolutely right because teams definitely picked on him constantly. If they had, especially teams if they had size.
Yeah.
That switch was coming. You know what I mean? And that him in the post, it was coming. And the fact that there was no real other defensive help that he had, because he's not getting it from Vooch. You know, he's not getting it from those guys. And Patrick Williams wasn't there. So he was on his own and on an island a lot. But I still felt he held his own on a lot of those situations. And for me, what adds to it is the fact that his defensive rebounds went up as well. And that means you're actually getting inside and you're trying to battle and you're trying to fight. You know what I mean? And then he's getting it and starting to break and running it out. So his toughness, I think, played into it. And he kind of found himself a little bit defensively. No, he is not going to be a great defender. I don't expect him to ever be. If he does become one, awesome. You know what I mean? It would make him even more incredible.
Yep.
But I expect him to score and just be out there and just not get lost, you know what I'm saying, and put in that effort and know what these other teams are trying to do against him. You know, because the knowledge is it will be his best weapon in those situations.
And just a quick thing on the rebounding. Mm-hmm. 4.5 rebounds per game this year, career high for Kobe. That is higher than Patrick Williams has had every single year of his career except for his rookie year when he had 4.6. So that's a 6'4", 6'5 guard going in and being a huge part of the Bulls' success as a team. Rebounding.
Yeah. I mean, this dude averaging like 2. You know what I mean? That's just how some of it was because he was coming off the bench, and a lot of this is because he's getting more minutes and things like that. But it's just the fact that that's how I always pictured him, was inside fighting and picking himself up off the floor because, like you said, he was taking no charges and things like that, man. He was solid.
Cool. Havana Radio in the comments saying, just popping in to say, don't trade Kobe. That's insane. Put a pin in that. We are going to address that next. Fish saying, I think Kobe was fine. He fights through 2 screens at a time, ends up getting switched. He needs to adjust more to that. French Bulls TV, meanwhile, saying, forget the stats and things like that. Kobe was a joy to watch pretty much all season long.
He was.
And speaking of, then let's now go to our meathead grades, gentlemen, if you want to throw the report card back up there, Kev. Okay, we got some interesting ones here.
What the heck did this mean?
Is this the first time you've done
done a report card yet? Okay. And I want to apologize. The grades were right on the first graphic that I flashed. I just forgot to change it up to, it was Caruso from 2 years ago.
Oh, so no worries. Okay. Well, now these are all set. Yeah,
explain to me what these mean.
So the meathead grades are essentially sort of acronyms or acrostics where we have some take about that player and grade out how we felt about their season and then try to make each other guess what they stand for.
All right. Let's
hear it. Okay. I had a really good guess on Dave's.
Sure.
But it's missing a T at the end. I was going to say my young Kobe left it all out there. But maybe nice. my young Kobe let it all out?
No.
Not even close?
No.
Okay.
But I like those, though. Will, you?
I have nothing.
No. You know what I liked about this is after I made the acronym, I wrote it down because I knew I was going to forget exactly what it was. And that's exactly what I did. I wrote it down. It stands for make your contract look insulting and offensive.
Oh, wow. And that's
that is exactly what Kobe playing great is doing. It's making that contract look crazy right about now. So he is obviously outplaying the contract that he signed. On a really good deal. Shout out to AK for that. He signed to a really good deal, really team-friendly deal. You won't get that opportunity again. But this is what I want him to do, is to outplay that contract, because if you are a dude averaging 20-plus and teams have to worry about you, and even if the fact that they're micing you up on ESPN, they're realizing that, dude, you can ball. You got a little something that's really dope, man. And the next contract around is going to make you some real stupid money. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate that he is outplaying this contract and just making it look, when people look at it like, wait, you're making what? Get the hell out of here. We can't believe this. Yeah, that's what it was for this year for Kobe. I'm really glad at what he did to that contract. Destroyed it.
I love it. GOAT. CSAA.
That sounds like a group.
Kobe said, hey, hey.
Catholic League South?
Think as meat-headed as anything I would possibly say.
As you would say, Kobe shoot.
Kobe should ask
Kobe
away.
No,
Kobe star athlete all star.
Kobe saved Arturis's ass.
Oh! I love it.
Well done. Because
without Kobe's play this year, this season would have gone off the rails.
Yeah.
Early. I mean, it went off the rails early. Kobe saved it.
Yeah.
Kobe saved Arturis. He made him look great by signing him to the contract that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And he's helping position this team to be in an okay spot moving forward.
Yeah.
Without Kobe, this situation would be a complete mess.
Yeah.
And
true.
Arturis has to be, I mean, good on Arturis for signing Kobe to the deal he did. I'm not trying to take that away from him, but like, this situation looks a lot worse without Kobe White.
Very true.
Absolutely right, man.
Very true. All right, before you guys venture a guess at mine, it might help as a clue.
The most meat-headed thing I would possibly say.
It's pretty good.
That's a really good one. I don't know if it got lost in translation from Sarah and then to Kev. There is actually supposed to be an additional K at the end of KMS, but the K, the last K is in parentheses.
Okay.
So it's supposed to read KMS parentheses K.
Oh, man. Keep making scratch.
I have said this about Coby White many times through this season we all just endured together.
So it has to do with your mental. So it has to do with what he did for Peck mentally.
It's right there in front of you.
It really
keep
is.
My sanity.
Yeah. You're right there. Kept me sane.
Kept me sane. Kept me sane.
And then the K in parentheses was kinda.
I like it.
Sort of.
as good of a job as he could have done to keep my sanity together this season.
Yeah.
That was what Coby White was for me, and I think for a lot of Bulls fans.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take our second break. When we come back, we want to touch a bit on how the front office should view Coby. Yeah. Speaking of AK getting credit for signing him to that 3-year deal, because he is one of the now young entering their prime players on a very team-friendly contract this offseason. Yeah. As the front office is saying, we need to make changes. Does that mean Coby should be kept here because of that value and what we saw him do to improve his game? Or should you take that value and turn it into something else? Let's talk about that on the other side of this break. If you didn't do the like button the first time around, now's your chance. You'll never run out of chances. Just hit the like button. It'll take you half a second. Big Dave, who do we have next?
First of all, Colin was saying, hey, Joey, I thought Joey was behind the wheels to steal. That's our guy, K-Dub, man.
All right, guys. Colin must have been late joining in.
Yeah, bro.
We gave Kev the introductory shout-out right at the top.
Yeah, man. And so to add to that, K-Dub, what time is it?
Game time. Hoop.
Let's go. He was ready. Told you he was going to improve, didn't he?
That was a no-dip.
Coming in off the bench ready like Tristan Thompson getting minutes in a playoff game last night.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, what a game.
I'm going to turn off my mic. I don't want to say nothing.
Oh, man.
You probably have fewer kids.
Game time is the authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip off. The closer the tip off, lower the price. That's a good deal, y'all. With those killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views on your seat, and their low price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA playoff tickets. Oh, of course you know what they got, y'all. They got the last-minute tickets. They got the flash deals. They got them zone deals. They got easy-to-find and buy playoff and Major League Baseball tickets for every kind of event in your area. Views from your seat, which is my favorite thing ever. If you're my size, height, oh, wait, you want views from your seat, all right? That's what you need. This guy, he gets me. Lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection. Even if you lose your gig, Game Time says you still enjoy the game. You're going to need that because you done lost your job.
Shout out Chip Schaefer.
Hey, oh, man. Of course, those last-minute deals, y'all, you can save up to 60% off buying last-minute of sports, concerts, comedy, and those theater events, y'all. And you can save any more with the exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or of the event. So this is what you do. Take that guesswork out of buying those tickets with the NBA tickets, I should say, with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that code CHGO. Get yourself $20 off your first purchase.
Terms apply.
That's CHGO. Get yourself $20 off your first purchase.
Terms apply.
Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guarantee. Because Matt Peck, Summer Peck, Bird Peck. What time is it? Get out.
What was the last one? Bird Peck?
Burke.
Oh, Bird Peck, yeah. Burke Peck.
Burke Peck. From Chicago.
Today's show also brought to you by our friends at Coors Light.
Yeah.
Between work, social media, and the choices life throws our way, no wonder that we can get more worked up.
Yes.
Coors Light celebrates rising above that stress and those hectic moments in our life and choosing a chill mindset.
Mm.
Why not turn a rained-out barbecue into a karaoke house party?
Mm.
Or, after a tough loss, settle scores with an ice-cold peace offering. Shout out to our guy Herb. I was watching him watch that Sox game unravel a minute ago.
Yeah.
I think Herb needs a refreshing Coors Light right now.
He's had several.
Make the choice to choose. Chill. And reach for a Coors Light. It's that simple, y'all. It's mountain cold refreshment. When the mountains turn blue, chill.
You got a base.
It's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When you embrace a chill mindset, it's a good time to choose chill and crack one of these here Coors Lights. Make the most out of those times to chill. You can get these delicious, fresh, ice-cold Coors Lights delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Mm. Shout out to our guy Flipside, who I said just joined us late, telling y'all to hit that like button. Shout out to Shirtless Wonder saying, Bert loving Irish. This Kobe breakdown going on. It's can't get this kind of content anywhere else. Thank you. Thank good. You, Kev,
thank
for tuning
you, Wonder.
In.
We appreciate you, sir.
Putting the Kobe out there on the balcony and everything.
It's on top of
okay, guys. So here's the big question. And Havana, whatever, in the comments earlier saying, like, just popped in to say, don't trade Kobe. That's crazy. I think a lot of Bulls fans are hyped about the future of Kobe because of him being a salvaging, shining light in a frustrating season.
Yeah.
And knowing that he has 2 years left on a very team-friendly deal.
Double dose.
When you talk about cost of production. I will pose to you, I don't necessarily think that means Kobe should have that quote-unquote untouchable or untradeable tag on him.
Yeah.
Just because he is a young player who had a breakout year 5 and has those 2 very valuable years left on his deal.
Yeah.
I think if you're AK, you have to evaluate everything. You have to listen to every offer. And maybe, if I may be so bold, come up with some ideas of your own to get this team back on the right track. And as much as I love and appreciate what we saw Kobe do this season, I do not think that his name should be removed de facto at the start of any trade negotiations this offseason. What do y'all think?
Okay. He's not untouchable. Let me say that. Matt's right. I'm listening to every single offer that you have about Kobe White. I don't want to trade him. I don't want to let Kobe go. I've never wanted to let Kobe go. Kobe's name has come up in contract talks, I think, every single year, you know, for the Bulls. Again, he's not untouchable. Nobody is on this team. When you're under 500 and you can't get to the playoffs, nobody on your team is untouchable unless you have a superstar on your squad. Kobe White is somebody who is at the bottom of the list as far as, or probably the last one on the list as far as who I want to trade. So I will exhaust every single other possibility about every other player on my team except that dude right there. Now, if you got an offer for me that's insane, that's going to give me that star that I'm looking for, and give me some draft capital that I'm looking for, absolutely I'm going to listen to it. You know what I mean? And we will definitely have that conversation then. You can't be that naive about it. You just can't. But I'm not trying to trade him. If I can avoid trading Kobe White, I'm going to do it at any possibility, at any kind of way. I'm going to try to avoid trading him. But you have to listen to the deals that are being laid out. Because regardless, teams are going to see it. That's right. They're looking. They see what he did. They understand how good he was. And when there's other players in the league that are starting to talk about him, we saw Donovan Mitchell. We saw CP3, obviously, who talked about him. And, you know, and several other players talking about just how good he is. I love what Donovan Mitchell said. He was like, no, it's just basically him understanding he's good now and stepping into that. Teams see that stuff, man. And the fact his contract is so good and the Bulls have been not puts him on the table. Mm-hmm. It just does. It just puts him there. But if I can avoid trading him, Will, I'm doing it kind of at all costs. But if that deal is just too good to pass up, I don't see how I can't listen to it.
I think we're all on the same page. You know, I think one useful way to think about this is, like, what's a package you would accept for Kobe? Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, 2 picks and a good young player? I don't know. Maybe. But I think the reason why you even have to think about it, and I do think you have to think about it, is, okay, let's say the Bulls move on from DeMar. And he just signs with another team. You don't get anything back for him in a sign and trade.
Okay.
Let's say they can salary dump Zach LaVine. Maybe you get one thing back for him, maybe not. But ultimately, it's not costing you anything to get off of Zach LaVine's contract. Let's say they go through this year and Lonzo's contract expires, or maybe they can just wipe Lonzo's contract off the books altogether. Oof. You are in a situation where you're kind of wiping the slate clean. You got Vooch for two more years. Maybe you can try to trade him. Maybe not.
Please.
But you are going towards the bottom, right? Oh. I mean, in that scenario, you're going to be a not very good team.
Yeah.
You're going to be missing like three of your best players. Caruso, obviously, I think should absolutely be traded this summer. I think not trading him would be a complete and utter failure and disaster.
Again.
So if you are in that situation where you've moved on from your best players, does it make sense to keep young players to build around? Yeah, absolutely. But I think you also have to think about it from the perspective of you are going to be in a situation where you're going towards a rebuild. You want to be collecting assets. You want to be starting over and resetting the clock. I mean, we thought about this a lot with Justin Fields versus Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
reset
yeah.
the quarterback clock.
Yeah.
After, so you, Kobe and Io too have two seasons left on bargain contracts. After that, you're going to have to pay them a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to extend them. They're going to make more than what the extension rules allow, mm-hmm. which means they are going to become free agents. Over the next 2 years, can you build something good enough to convince those guys to stay? Mm. If the answer is, I'm not sure, well, you better start building or you better start to look to trade those guys because you don't want to lose them for nothing.
Yeah.
And if you do come to the conclusion that the best path forward is to try to trade those guys, add to that asset base and really maximize your chances when you're starting this rebuild, well, doing it with 2 years left on his contract is going to net you a lot more than if you were to do it with 1 year or even 1.5. This is the same situation they're in with Caruso. It's why there's such a sense of urgency from my perspective where you have to trade him because now he's in the last year of his bargain contract. As soon as the end of the season, like you don't know if you can even re-sign him, let alone keep him on a bargain deal. So I agree with you, Dave. Like it would suck to let go of a young player, but I think he's in the same situation with Patrick too. It's like the clock has already run out on these guys. Mm. It's part of, yes, they're young players. Yes, they could still improve. But part of the fact, like what you have to factor in is their rookie contract. And that's over. And now Kobe's on his second contract, and it's a bargain. Mm-hmm. That's going to last two more years. Like, you gotta maximize that. And if that means you can build something from the ground up organically with your own assets that you acquire in other deals to build around Kobe, great, you should try that.
Sure.
But if not, you absolutely have to be looking at what options are out there because he could be the most valuable asset that you have. He could be the one now who gets you the most in return and sets you up best for this rebuild that I think is inevitable, that I think they are going to have to go to. I don't think it's a requirement, but I think they absolutely should be looking to move him and engaging the market to see how much they can get.
I think people in the comments mostly agreeing with us. Eric J saying Kobe definitely has the biggest value. He should be in offers. Also, Io's growth as a player makes him tradable. Fish kind of echoing what you were just saying a second ago, Will, with the fact that when Io and Kobe's contracts come up again, they'll be in their primes and then very expensive.
Right.
And who around them? A 39-year-old DeMar.
And are they are they even good enough to be – like this team couldn't make the playoffs with DeMar as the best player. Right. In 2 years when DeMar is 38 and like his contract with the Bulls is inevitably either in its final year or he's long gone, like are those two players, Io and Kobe, going to be good enough to take you to the playoffs? Mm. And if the answer is no, which right now it is, you can't be paying those guys max deals.
Facts.
You run into the same thing you're in with Zach. And I'm not saying Kobe is the same as Zach. And I actually do think there's a pathway for them to keep building around Kobe and Io, trade everybody else, move Caruso, get picks. Mm-hmm. And you really do start to build up that next crop of young players that you can supplement Kobe and Io and Patrick mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an option. But if you're trying to maximize your chances here, like – and if what Arturis said is true, that he's trying to play for championships one day, you got to be thinking about how you can put yourself in that best position. Mm. And Kobe trading Kobe might be the best way to do that.
Mm. Rob in the comments saying, any guy can be traded by next season's deadline. I got to hear every offer.
It's the way to go.
The way to go. Colin, meanwhile, saying, Kobe and Io are virtually untouchable. I'm guessing we have 5 or more years with both of them. I don't know if that's your opinion, how you feel, your prediction, or a joke about the fact that this organization tends to overvalue their players and never want to make any moves about anything.
Well, I'll say this too about Kobe, like the kind of person Kobe is. He doesn't strike you as somebody that's going to be demanding trades or like, I want to go somewhere else. Like he's a loyal guy. And you tell me if I'm wrong, you're around him more than me, but it just feels like he's that kind of guy. So that's why you can kind of get him on the contract that you got him on because he probably didn't want to go anywhere. You know, he was like, I'm comfortable here. I like being here with the Bulls, man. So he's always been struck me as that person, you know, that isn't really particularly moved financially. But at some point in time, somebody's dangling a stupid-ass check in front of you, it will change your opinion at some point in time.
You and like, be quicker than that. Are you able to, one, afford to be the team that gives him that contract? Mm. Like financially, yeah, I think if they do clear out a lot of space, then they'll be able to. But just in terms of your team building, like, does it make sense to make him your highest paid player and then have to build around that? I'm not saying it doesn't, but that's a question you have to consider. And again, I don't think like the Bulls have to trade Kobe or I personally want them to trade Kobe. Mm. I think they need to orient that way and like consider all options. But I do think there's a world where they continue to build around Kobe, but you're also going to have to sell him on the idea of, look, we're starting to we're rebuilding now, and we feel like you're going to be one of our franchise pillars, but we're going to have a couple of down years. Like, are you up for that?
Kev, you have something to say?
I'm just curious. I know that it just feels like Zach's being traded regardless this offseason. Yeah, yeah. So what order is this coming? Is Kobe going to be the first pillar to drop here because he's the most valuable trade piece right now?
I think he'd actually probably be the last one because, I mean, okay, so if you think about, like, order of operations here, it's – obviously, DeRozan is the most important person in your franchise. But if you're talking about giving him $40 million, which is what Casey Johnson reported a few weeks ago, you cannot do that without first moving Zach LaVine.
Yeah,
so now Zach LaVine becomes your first order of business because moving him is the only thing that you're going to be able to do to create space to do anything else.
Yeah.
But are teams ready to trade for Zach LaVine before they know what happens with Paul Pierce and James Harden and all these other free agents that are going to be available? You know, teams like there's going to be 9 teams who are in the second apron this year. You can't really do business with them. So for those other teams, they have a chance to make moves using their cap space. But is Zach LaVine going to be the first person that they're after? Probably not. So you're probably waiting until all the other dominoes fall before teams say, okay, yeah, actually do think like Zach LaVine next best option. Mm-hmm. So, but the problem is then you can't extend or re-sign DeMar before you do any of that, because if you do, now you're $15 million into the luxury tax and you have no guaranteed way to get out. And I just don't see the Bulls potentially getting themselves stuck there without an out. And so I think there's a world where DeMar does end up being the first domino to leave, even if the Bulls want to bring him back. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like if the team wants to make any changes, it starts with Zach LaVine. And unfortunately, I think it's going to take some time for the market to develop for him, just because there's going to be other teams interested in other stuff. And that's where, and then even if you do trade him, now it's like, okay, well, what do you get back? Do you get like win now veterans? Does then it make sense to start building towards a rebuild? Mm-hmm. Probably not, because now your team is like maybe a little bit stronger and they may not want to do that. So I think Zach and DeMar are kind of coexisting as like the first most important thing that AK has to deal with this summer. Probably they won't come up with a plan in full until after the lottery and teams know where they're drafting. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why I really feel like they need to be exploring all options. And, you know, Kobe is one of those players that it wouldn't take other deals to materialize in order for him to become a commodity, right? True. Teams are going to be after him immediately, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Maybe not. And it's then maybe, you know, if you can't get like 3 good assets for him, then it doesn't make sense to trade him because it's probably more valuable to keep him around at that point. So I do think Zach and DeMar are going to have to be the first dominoes. Like, that's just how it's going to be. In order to do anything, you're going to need to move those 2 guys. Mm. But, you know, Caruso, I think, is probably the most important thing that they end up doing this summer, is like making sure you get a haul for him. And then how do you move forward with whatever pieces you get in return?
All right. We are almost out of time, but with a few minutes left, quick NBA playoff roundup from last night. Cavs edge out Orlando.
Yeah.
Home teams remain undefeated in that series. Cavs up 3-2 going back. To Orlando.
Very good game.
Very good game. Mobley with that huge game-winning block on Wagner.
Man. I know Will loved that.
I can't believe that Paolo Banchero did not get the ball in that possession. Shout out to the Bucks. We all thought that they were dead. Ooh. Sitting here 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Shout out to our old friend Bobby Portis, who's 29 points alongside Middleton's 29.
Yeah.
Helped the Bucks stay alive. No Giannis, no Dame, no problem.
Also Pat Bev, man.
I was about to say.
Yeah, the Pat Bev game, bro. He balled, bro.
Let's pump the brakes.
Dude, he balled.
Okay. So that one goes back to Indy, where they will try to clinch, currently up 3-2 in game 6. But obviously the game of last night.
Yeah.
It's been every game this series, something crazy happens or 26,000 crazy things happen.
Yeah.
Knicks, Sixers.
Crazy.
Tyrese Maxey said, "Hold my beer. This series is not over yet. Our season is not over yet."
ball.
A 4-point play and a logo pull-up.
Yes.
And as a lifelong Bulls fan who has hated the Knicks since the early 90s, watching every Knicks fan, including some famous ones, courtside, watch in disbelief as their party that they had already started exploded and they had to call 911 instead. God, I soaked up every ounce of it, and I know you did too, Dave. God, that was awesome.
It feels so great. I didn't even realize it's been 25 years since the Knicks have closed out a series at home.
99.
I had no
their
idea.
Run to the title.
That was the strike
with that scrappy
year.
99 team.
And that was the strike year. You know what I mean? Like, it's been that long. Larry Johnson and
Latrell.
Man Gundy hanging on legs. Like, it's
Allen Houston.
It's been a while, you know what I mean, for them doing that. But you're right, Matt. Just watching that team be disappointed, knowing that John Starks was in the building, just thank you, Philly, for that. I appreciated that. I picked the Knicks to win the series, but I appreciated that. I needed a little bit of that just for my own level of hatred for the Knicks.
Tyrese Maxey was outrageous. I feel like they should have fouled down three.
They were talking about it on TNT postgame. Yeah. Like, why the hell didn't they foul?
And they showed Tibbs telling them to foul. You saw him yelling at, like, foul this dude. But at the same time, there's no defense for a dude pulling up from there. You know what I mean? You probably aren't thinking, like, well,
until they get into
their set. Exactly. Let me get a little closer. I don't think he's pulling up from the logo with 10 seconds left.
I mean, that shot was insane.
He caught him
off
guard.
The back and forth wasn't, like, Brunson was outrageous, too.
Man.
He's balling.
Dude, his ability to go right and then finish with the left hand and that scoop shot. Like,
scary.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. He is so good.
It's hard for me not to want to see Tibbs succeed, though.
Sure.
It's hard.
I understand.
It's hard for me not to watch.
You're young.
And even, like, even Chicago people, like, some of us have a soft spot for Brunson because of the city ties.
Absolutely.
So it's like, yeah, but you're wearing a Knicks jersey. And Tibbs, you're wearing a Knicks pullover. Yeah.
I love Big East basketball, man. I love Jalen Brunson at Villanova.
Yeah.
I local kid. It's hard for me not to root for him. It really is. It really is.
No one who's a Knicks fan deserves happiness ever. But mentioning Brunson, I thought that they had karma coming their way because of that dumbass shit that Charles Oakley said in some interview leading up to game 5.
Yes.
One of Patrick Ewing's ride or die teammates on a team that went to the NBA finals, went through countless playoff series bloody battles together, which Bulls fans all witnessed because we were there beating them up right back. Charles Oakley has the audacity,
mitigated gall,
amidst all of the current recency bias and hype, to say that Jalen Brunson has surpassed Sir Patrick Ewing on the all-time Knicks list?
Can't do that, bro.
Charles Oakley, I have defended you before. I defended him when James Dolan pulled that bullshit, roughing him up with MSG security.
I love you,
we
Charles
all know
Oakley.
I've been there. It's not fun. But that is some straight disrespect that Charles Oakley just threw at Patrick Ewing leading up to this game. And they deserve to lose. And their fans should get an apology from Charles Oakley for saying that wild shit. Because that was basketball karma.
I thought it was more karma because they were hanging jerseys on Sixer statues. You know what I mean? On their
that
player
too.
Statues.
Like, they're about to go do it again in game 6.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's super disrespectful, man. But, yeah, listen, anytime the Knicks fail, I'm happy. I'll just say it like that. That's what it is. It's going to bring me joy. Yes, I like Tibbs. Yes, I love Brunson. I love all those guys. If they get to the next round, you know, fine, great. You know what I mean? But if they don't, I'll be fine, though. You know?
They get to the next round, but that's enough.
You know, no I really do like Brunson. Like, I really, really, really
man,
like
he's
him.
He's nice.
It was like when the Knicks went to the finals in the first time in 94. Yeah, of course I didn't want them beating the Bulls. You know what I mean? But they did.
That hurt.
And I was like, well, fine. Since they got a chance to go, Patrick, I hope you get a ring. You know? You had your opportunity.
Oh, no. Dude, I was all Rockets. I was like, give me the Rockets.
I was cool with Pat getting one. But once after that, I was like, well, sorry. You got my one. You know what I mean? That's the last one you get, dog. John Starks went full John Starks in game 7. Went like 2 of 17. It was the best ever. Oh, I enjoyed it. It was great. Thank you very much for that. So good looking out.
Man.
But yeah, Knicks lose. I'm happy. Great.
But as NBA fans, we are all winners because we get to watch another game of that series.
Yeah.
It's been a great series.
It's been a great series, man. It's been great.
Before that, though, we've got another slate tonight. Real quick before we get out of here, do the Celtics close out the Heat in game five?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wrong about everything, so.
Yeah, Will was 0 for 3 yesterday.
The other 2-2 series, Mavs Clips, game five tonight. Who's winning?
I'm going to say Clippers because I had the Clippers winning in six. So I'm going to say Clippers.
I'm going to go Mavs because I had the Mavs winning in seven.
There it is, yeah.
Same and same.
I'm rooting for the Mavs, though.
Let's do it.
I am rooting for
the Mavs. Enjoy the NBA playoff doubleheader tonight, y'all. Thank you for tuning in today. Hit the thumb on your way out if you didn't do it yet. We appreciate it. Make sure you also subscribe if you listen on the pod, whatever your podcast platform is. If you feel so inclined, leave us rates and reviews there. We appreciate those, too. Will the GOAT, Will_Gottlieb, big day, bow, B-A-W-O. Bow. Sports, I am Bulls_Peck. We are CHO_Bulls. Shout out and a hello and a goodbye to our friend Kevin Wells for hopping in with us on the producer's chair tonight.
Always a pleasure, boys.
Always a pleasure. Never fear, two more episodes, Thursday and Friday.
Double dose.
Y'all are going to handle that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uncle Matt's going to go peace out to Houston for a long weekend.
Yeah, Uncle Matt's going to go Uncle Matt.
Bye. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Enjoy the playoffs. These dudes will talk to you tomorrow, Bulls Nation. See you really good. Y'all silly like the mayor.